Hey everyone, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am thrilled that you have joined us again today, and I hope today's episode is a great encouragement to you. If you have not yet left a review for us on iTunes, please go and do that. That is a huge help to us just to get the word out to people. I'm really bad about asking for that, and so Garrett keeps saying, you've got to ask for iTunes reviews. So I'm asking you, please just take a second after this podcast to go and just rate us on there. Of course, if you like us, if you don't like the podcast, well, then don't say anything at all. anyway, but we hope that it has been a great encouragement to you. And then the other thing is, if you have topic suggestions or questions that you would like us to answer on the podcast or guests that you would like to hear, send that over to us as well. You can actually send us an email at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. And we look at all of those requests that we get. We've got a whole list of questions that we're getting through and guests that we're getting through. And we always want to know how we can best be a blessing to you. So send those on over. But today we are talking to a good friend who I'm really excited to know. She is actually one of our marketing partners. Her name is Marissa Boonstra, and she is the founder of calledtomothering.com. And I'm going to let her introduce herself and tell you a little bit more about her. So welcome to the show, Marissa.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Well, I started Called to Mothering about 3 years ago. God laid it on my heart to start sharing with other moms about parenting from a biblical perspective. And I really wanted to encourage moms to seek out what God says about parenting and mothering, and encourage them that it is a calling. It is, there's purpose and there's joy in it. So I write to encourage other moms and also help them equip their children with a biblical worldview. My husband and I have been married about 15 years, and we have two children. Our son is 10 and our daughter is 7. And we, up until really recently, maybe almost 4 years, we lived in New Jersey, and we are Jersey natives. Mm-hmm. But about 4 years ago, we moved to Oklahoma City. So now we're in Oklahoma, and that was a huge culture shock.
Little different.
Yes, but it's been amazing. We love it here. And we've been homeschooling about 5 years.
Oh, that's awesome. When I hear about Oklahoma, I think of tornadoes, because I only had one friend who was from Oklahoma. Now I have more, but years ago, I only knew one person from Oklahoma, and they had this huge tornado actually take out their whole house. And so just like, you know, people hear that I'm from California and they think we have earthquakes every single day, right? Which is not the truth. So I know you don't have tornadoes every single day.
No, not every single day.
No, but that is a huge change from New Jersey. So fun. We'll make it out to Oklahoma sometime. We have yet to go there, but we will.
State.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I want to talk today. You've got a book that's out, and I have started reading it, and it is excellent. I have loved this book so far. It's called Bucking the System: Reclaiming Our Children's Minds for Christ. And you talk a lot in there about what homeschooling has to do with the Great Commission and just how we can equip our kids with a biblical worldview. So I would love for you to talk about your book, talk about how God put that on your heart, and what is it about?
Okay. Well, in 2011, I started hearing about an education trend that should be familiar to a lot of people, called Common Core. Mm-hmm. And my friends were starting to talk about it, the ones that have had their kids go through a few years of elementary school. And they were really concerned about what they were seeing, the different values that were popping up in their children's schoolwork and lessons. And it seemed to not go along with what their values were. Mm-hmm. And at the time, my son was still a few years away from entering kindergarten. So I knew we had a few years yet. And at the time, we were also planning on putting our kids in public school. So I thought I should be prepared and look into it and see what Common Core was all about. And I started doing some research, and I found a whole lot of articles about it. And the funny thing is that it didn't just stop there with Common Core. There was a lot of things I heard that I saw about it that were bad. But then it seemed to be this rabbit trail or rabbit hole of information that had to do with the public education system in America. And the more I began to look at those things, those articles, and read books having to do with that that topic, I learned a lot of information about how the system works and how it is actually running counter to a biblical values mm-hmm. on purpose. It mm-hmm. is intentionally designed that way.
Yeah.
And I grew up going to public school. I went there all 12 years for my education. And so I knew that my husband and I would have to we'd have to step up our game if our kids went to public school. We'd really have to be on top of it. We'd have mm-hmm. to make sure that we were, you know, teaching them biblical values at home, and we were making sure that we knew what they were learning in school, so we could counter those things. So after a while, I had enough information to make the decision to actually not put our children in public school. My husband and I decided that we would instead do private school. We would do a private Christian school. And my son started out there, and I still continued to research even after he was in private school. And I had all of these, I had all of this research and all of these quotes and all the things I had learned stored on my computer still. So I decided, you know, there had to be a point where I was either going to, you know, stop, or, you know, I had to make a decision about what I was going to do with the information. And my husband suggested, why don't you just put it in a book? And, you know, so other parents can read it. Other parents can learn what you've learned. They can benefit from understanding mm-hmm. what education really is, and what the history of the public education system in America. And so they can be informed, and they can make informed decisions about schooling for their children.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to put all of that, what I already had, and then I did even further research to put it all together.
That's awesome. Talk about some of the stuff then that you discovered through your research, because I think a lot of parents today, some of them choose not to know because they just don't want to know. Maybe they don't have a choice. They have to have their kids in public school. You know, maybe they're a single mom, though there are a whole lot of single moms who do homeschool, but maybe they don't have the support of their husband. It could be many different reasons. So there are some who I know, they just don't want to know. And then there are some who simply don't know because they don't know that they need to know what's actually happening and what the actual real agenda is with the public school system. So what are some of the things that you discovered through your research?
One of the things I discovered was that the founders that we all know their names. We know usually men like Horace Mann and John
mm-hmm.
Dewey.
Mm-hmm.
Historians have said that they are the founders of the foundation of the public school system in America. And they were actually men who were socialists. They had a socialist mindset or worldview, and that very much influenced them. It influenced their ideas and their educational philosophies. And so it drove the types of curriculum that they put into place. And then another thing I've learned that was very kind of eye-opening is that there has been a deliberate trend or agenda to actually dumb down mm-hmm. American school children.
Mm-hmm.
And through reading and math, we used to have, before the mid-1800s, schools would teach reading, and they would do it through phonics
mm-hmm.
and arithmetic. And now schools don't teach those things anymore. And we teach reading through a method called whole language. And children aren't taught to decode words anymore. They have very complex math problems. So those two things weren't just a switch or a type of school reform that was put into place, but they're actually, they came out of a socialist type of worldview that this type of reading and this type of math are intended to teach children a certain idea. They're used to teach them the ideas that a socialist would want them to know. And that's, it's not obvious. It's not something that is, you know, that's bright flashing like, hey, you know, this is the socialist or liberal agenda. It's very subtle.
Yeah. Yeah. It has become, I think even more subtle. And I believe, Satan is very deceptive.
Yes.
And so, you know, my husband and I have talked about this and just seeing the transition of how the public school system has gone over the years. And, you know, in the beginning, it was just taking out, you know, the Bible, taking the Bible verses and scripture off of the walls and mm-hmm. taking the Bible out of the classroom. And it's just been little baby steps, because when it's little baby steps, it's not so shocking and people don't recoil against it. But when you take little steps and it's just one compromise after another, just little by little by little by little, people don't notice it as much.
Right.
And Satan's very clever to work that way. You know, he's got a long time to right. affect the minds of society. And so he knows, you know, I can't do it all at one time. I can't flip the switch overnight. So I'll just
right.
cause one little change at a time. And that's what we've seen happen in our culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, the things that we're facing today compared to what things were like when we were kids is shocking in a million different ways. I just cannot even wrap my mind around what is happening in the school system, in the public school system. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But it's why we're filming this documentary. You know, it's called Schoolhouse Rocked, the Homeschool Revolution, because it really is a revolution. I mean, parents are starting to open their eyes and to step up. And we were in that same position when we first started homeschooling, where we were always going to just put our kids in school. I mean, we had no idea. And this was, you know, I mean, Brooklyn is 13 now. And so we're in our eighth year of homeschooling. And 8 years ago, it's even worse now than it was 8 years ago, of course. But 8 years ago, there was still a whole lot going on. And we simply just didn't know. We were just not aware. And we're grateful that the Lord kept us from doing that. We actually chose not to put her in the public school, not because of the spiritual harm it would do, but because of the physical harm. We were actually more physically afraid for her because of the neighborhood that we lived in. A lot of the neighborhood kids used to come and hang out at our house, and we loved getting to minister to them, but they would tell us about stories of things that would happen in school. And we just thought, there's just no way we can't put her in that kind of environment. It wouldn't be physically safe. So that was why we decided to homeschool in the first place. And of course, since then the Lord has completely changed our hearts about that.
Yes, absolutely.
But, so let's talk about the Great Commission and, you know, how the Lord can equip us as parents to teach our kids everything from a biblical worldview. Cause if we're not going to have them in the public school system, then of course we have to take that responsibility on at home. So I want to talk about that. Let's take a quick break for a sponsor and we'll be right back.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
So let's talk about the Great Commission. Let's talk about how we can equip our kids at home with a biblical worldview.
We tend to think of it as something that we go and do, like we are going outside of our home. We're on mission, you know, in whether it's our kids in school or we're out in the community, and we are, you know, making disciples outside of the home. And I think, and there is that aspect of it, definitely where we're supposed to go. We're not supposed to just stay in our own, you know, tight knit communities or our houses and not ever share the gospel with people. So that is definitely a big part of it. But I think the part that we miss or we forget is that our families, is where it's supposed to start. We're supposed to start within our own families, and then progress out. We're supposed to go into the communities, and then, you know, our cities and towns, and then our states, and from, you know, it just spreads from there. And then our children are disciples. You know, they are our disciples. We can make disciples of them. We can train their hearts. We can disciple their hearts through through their actions and their behaviors, different things that come up during the day. And we have such a great opportunity to share the gospel with them and point them to the Bible and to Jesus. Just by saying, you know, let's sit down and read the scripture, you know, because this, to show them what they're, to show them where the behavior is coming from. I think we tend to focus more on the outward behavior instead of what's going on inside their hearts. So when we use Bible verses to kind of teach them what's going on inside of them and let the Bible change their hearts instead of us saying, you know, do this or don't do that, you know, they'll have that heart change. The Spirit will change their hearts instead of us trying to do it.
Yeah. You know, two of the tools that I've used with my girls, one of them is called Wise Words for Moms by Ginger Hubbard. Have you heard of that? Are you familiar with that? Do you have it up in your kitchen or somewhere?
I've heard of it.
Oh, it's so great. It's kind of like, it looks like a calendar. I mean, like the way that it is bound is like a calendar, but it's so great because it gives you maybe a behavior that your child is struggling with. And then it gives you a verse and then it gives you kind of a script of how you can respond to that behavior. And then you can just pray through that with your child. And it's a fantastic resource to have. I know several moms, several of my friends have this Wise Words for Moms and they'll keep it up in their kitchen. And it's one of those great tools that you can just tell your child, you know, just go sit on your bed for a few minutes and then you can go, you know, look it up really quickly, you know, whether it's tattling or lying or disobedience or bad attitude or whatever the behavior is that you want to correct. But that's a great, great tool. I'll actually link back to that in the show notes. But the other one is it's called the Bible training, the Child Training Bible. That's what it's called. And this is another great resource. Have you heard of this one?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's very similar to Wise Words for Moms, except Wise Words for Moms is the like quick reference guide for it. Okay. The Child Training Bible is where you actually, it's a kind of a kit that you buy and then you buy a Bible separately and you have all of these behaviors and verses in your Bible marked with little tabs and highlighted. And so if your child again is dealing with, you know, maybe tattling or arguing, you go to the blue section that has tattling or arguing and you flip to those tabs and it takes you straight to that scripture. And we have used that a lot with our kids and it's a fantastic resource because it gives you something. And that's one of those things that day in and day out, as we have our kids with us and we're homeschooling them, we can take that break from math or reading or science or whatever, you know, maybe our kids are squabbling with one another and we can just say, okay, let's just stop. Your relationship is so much more important than math right now. So let's stop. Let's look at what God's word says about this and let's focus on this for for right now. And it's one of the beauties of homeschooling, because as much as most teachers love their students, no teacher can stop the whole entire class, say, okay, everyone silent. We're going to just work on character for right now. Maybe for the whole day. It wouldn't work. And what a privilege and a blessing we have to be able to do that with our kids. Mm-hmm. So can you give, and this is totally putting you on the spot. So I'm sorry if you can't come up with something really off the top of your head, but can you give maybe some examples of things that you've done with your kids where you've been able to do some real heart training in the midst of your homeschooling?
There have been instances where both children have been really struggling with a particular subject, and they've gotten really frustrated, and they start crying, they start whining, and they just shut down. And then their behavior escalates from there, where they are even starting to get mean with me and talking back and things like that. So I will actually stop the lesson right then and there, and I will, you know, talk to them about what's going on inside their hearts. And, you know, if they're starting to get really upset and mean with their words, I'll say, you know, I know that you're having a hard time with this problem right now. But, you know, God wants us to have a good attitude. He wants us to persevere and work through these things. And he also wants us to have a good teachable heart and spirit. So then I will try to share a relevant scripture, a Bible verse with them that talks about that kind of thing.
And do you feel like at that moment they're pretty receptive to that?
Sometimes. Not always.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes there's a breakthrough, mm-hmm. and sometimes they're like, oh, wow, I really get that. And, you know, yeah. It gives them insight into what's going on in their hearts, instead of just, this is totally stressing me out and I'm frustrated and I just don't know what to do with, you know, with my emotions. So I'm all over the place. But even if they don't show a response, like, you know, like the light bulb goes off and you have that moment where like, oh, you know, everything's great and perfect and everyone's, you know, just doing great after that. I still know that I planted a seed, mm-hmm. and it might not show up. It might not reveal itself, you know, until later, until mm-hmm. they're, you know, months down the road or a little bit older. I've seen a lot of fruit with my son, who's 10. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of growth in him and just that daily planting, the perseverance to plant those seeds, to share the scriptures every day.
Yeah, I love that. Do you find with your son, I'm curious, because I only have girls, mm-hmm. and I think it was when Brooklyn, she's 13 now, but I think it was when she was probably about 11 that the nighttime talks really started to take off, where, you know, she would just come, you know, crawl in bed or she with me, or she would say, mommy, come lay with me. And I would go lay with her. And I mean, this is more common now, and it's becoming more and more common where something will happen throughout the day and she just doesn't want to hear it. You know, she's just, her heart is just not in the right place. She's frustrated. You know, yes. Math is our frustration in our house. She just does not like math. I didn't like math. I am grateful for teaching textbooks. but we really struggle with that sometimes. And so there are often times where she doesn't want to hear what I have. Even if it's good encouragement, she just doesn't want to hear it. But then we can go to bed and we can just lay together in the dark and she's ready to talk. And sometimes I'm like, I'm so tired. It's 11 o'clock at night. I don't want to talk right now about math. I don't want to talk about whatever it is. Yes. But I'm learning those times are so very precious. Do you find that, are boys the same way? Or do you find other times, because boys communicate completely differently than girls do.
He's very talkative and he will share things, you know, later on throughout the day, but mm-hmm. it's usually not a nighttime thing. That's more my daughter.
Okay.
She'll do that. She loves to be a theologian before bedtime. Yeah.
Ask all the really heavy questions.
Yes, to ask all the deep spiritual questions right before bed.
Right, when mom is most tired.
when it's, it's time. I mean, it's like 8:05 and I'm like, let's go to bed.
Yeah. I love, you're like, it's 8:05 and I'm like at 11 o'clock when my kids are going to bed. Okay. Let me just give my disclaimer here. So from the time Brooklyn was born, Garrett has always worked in the film industry. And so he was working in the Hollywood film industry at that time. And he would get home from work oftentimes at 8 o'clock at night. And so it's one of the beauties of homeschooling for us is that our whole world shifted. So he would get home at 8 o'clock and we had just maybe had dinner at 8 o'clock or, usually we'd eat before he got home. And, if we didn't wait up and if my kids didn't wait up, they would never have gotten to see their daddy. So from the time they were newborn, my kids' bedtimes usually aren't until 10 o'clock, 10:30, sometimes 11, usually not 11, but usually 10 or 10:30 is when they're getting in bed. But then they sleep in the morning because they don't have to be up and on a school bus. And so it works for our family. So just so people aren't like, get your kids in bed at 11 o'clock at night. Yep. Sometimes. And it works for us. So, anyhow. Yeah. So 8 o'clock at night, you're trying to get them in bed and.
Yeah, we try. My husband, he works a schedule where he's able to be home by about 6 o'clock every night. Yeah. So we try really hard for that 8 o'clock bedtime because I know, we run into more issues. They do get tired and cranky and then there's a whole lot of, other things. There's a whole lot of character training, as I said before, but homeschooling is a great opportunity to work through those things, even though it's hard. And I don't think I would have the same opportunities to do that, to train them, moment by moment, to really dig deep with them and plant those seeds if they were away at school for 6-7 hours a day.
Yeah.
And then having, an hour or two of homework on top of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. You would miss out on a whole lot of time in doing that. We have just a couple minutes left. So, at the end, I want you to give some encouragement to the moms or the dads who are listening to this. And I'd like to ask you to give two different kinds of encouragement. One to the mom who's maybe not yet homeschooling and she's trying to figure it out and she's scared to death and she doesn't know what to do or how to even get started. She doesn't think she can do it. And then the other would be to the mom who's in the midst of homeschooling right now. She's just worn out. She's tired. Okay. She's halfway through the year and she doesn't know if she can make it another minute, much less another month or year. How would you encourage those moms?
Okay. Well, for the mom who hasn't started homeschooling yet and is just kind of thinking about it and is on the fence, I would say that I was not planning on homeschooling and I didn't think I had what it took either. I thought I wasn't patient enough. I thought I wasn't crafty enough or organized enough or extroverted enough. I just wasn't enough. Period. And I felt very inadequate to even begin. And I saw all these other homeschooling moms that looked like they had it all together and they were doing it perfectly and their children were thriving. And I thought, I can't do that. I don't have it in me. And I would say to those moms that it's true that you aren't enough and you don't have what it takes, but God does. He's the one that that we can draw from, that we can rely on to do the impossible. All throughout the Bible, there are examples of God deliberately choosing men and women who didn't think that they were equal to the task. They didn't think that they had what it took. But he simply said to them, just obey me, follow me, and I will work through you. And I've seen God do amazing things through me that I didn't think I could ever do on my own. And I've taught both of my children how to read and how to spell and how to write, how to study the Bible. We've done long division. We've conquered almost all of it. We've done a whole lot of things. I've done so many things. I've been stretched, and it's grown me. Homeschooling has grown my character so much. So I would encourage those moms that to just jump in, just see what God will do through you. See what the Lord will have for you and your family. And you'll be so amazed. And you will have those hard, frustrating days when you feel like you want to quit. But God will use those moments too to grow you and your children as well. And for the moms that are in the thick of it and they're overwhelmed, I think I would give them the same kind of encouragement that God has enough. He will take the little bit that you have, the little bit that you feel like you just, you know, that it's not enough to, you know, for all the children and all the responsibilities that you have as a mom and as a homeschooler and as a wife. He will take that little bit and he will multiply it. He did that with the fish and the loaves. And the disciples said, what is this little bit for so many people? And we're saying the same thing, I think, as homeschool moms and moms in general. We're saying, what is this little bit that I have, you know, among so many children or among, you know, so many responsibilities that I have? And Jesus can multiply that. He can. He just wants you to bring it to him. He told the little boy to bring the food that he had, the little lunch. He said, bring it here to me. And it was overflowing. It was abundant. You know, the resources were, there were so many left over, even among all those people. So God will take the little bit that you offer. You just have to be willing.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you so much for that. We serve a faithful God.
Yes, we
who
do.
Will always equip us with everything that we need to accomplish what he's called us to do. So thank you for that encouragement. Where can people find you again?
They can find me on calltomothering.com. That's my blog. And that's also my Facebook handle and Instagram handle.
Okay. And we will link to those in the show notes as well. So thank you so much, Marissa, for your time today. You've been a great encouragement. And for those listening, make sure that you tell your friends about the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. Help us get the word out about it. We love encouraging you guys. And again, if you've got suggestions for topics, guests, questions, anything that you want to hear about on the podcast, email us at podcast.schoolhouserocked.com. And we will be sure to look at those and do our best to get to them as quickly as we can. So thank you guys. Have a great day today. And we'll see you next time. Bye.